card. So turn in your Bibles with me to John, the 15th chapter. We're in a series called Abide, and we're going to get right back into it. John, the 15th chapter is a beautiful, beautiful passage. And next weekend, we're going to have our guest speaker come, Dr. Jeffrey Garner, and he's an incredible partner to Promised Land. He pastors in San Francisco, and he got his doctorate of ministry in the book of John. And so I can't wait for him to come share from John 15 as well. So that's next week. But today, we're going to talk about fruit. That's why I have this plate up here of fruit. If you've missed the last few weeks, let me give you those 3 points, just like that, okay? You can always get the messages in full on our YouTube channel. They're archived there. But number one, abiding is a choice. Abiding in Christ is a choice. Number two, abiding is different than striving. And number three, abiding means trusting the gardener. That was last week all about pruning. Today, let's jump into John 15, verse 4. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Abide in me, and I will abide in you." And sometimes we just race through that first sentence right there, and we don't really take in that last part of that first sentence. Jesus is making a commitment to you. He's going to abide in you. And he doesn't have to. Sometimes he may not want to, but he's making a covenant with you. I will abide in you. I will. So come on, abide in me, and I will abide in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful. Somebody say fruitful. That means full of fruit. That's like this plate. This is full of fruit. You can't be fruitful unless you remain in Jesus. And I almost see Jesus like leaning over us, like in the movies, they're leaning over and someone's about to die and they're slapping them in the face. Come on, stay with me, stay with me. I feel like Jesus has to do that with some of us sometimes. Come on, come on, come on. I'm right here. Stay with me. This is your life. This is your source. I am. That's what he's saying to us. John 15 and 5. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So last week, I was hoping that people would visualize being pruned by the gardener. And we got that from the passage last week. This week, I'm hoping everybody gets this vision of fruit coming out of you. Fruit coming out of you. That's a bizarre thought. It's kind of a strange idea. But that's what Jesus is telling us, that fruit would come from you. And I went to HEB this morning and purchased this. And I didn't realize how much grapes cost until I was checking out. Aren't these great? I think I may just have one. This is good. Good grape. Crisp. Juicy. Sweet. Nutritious, hydrating. All of these great things comes from grape. I was checking out the self-checker. I love to do the self-check, right? Man, these grapes, this one cluster of grapes here rang up as $10. And I was like, something's wrong, you know? So I called the lady. I have a problem with the machine. It didn't do something right, you know? And so she comes over and she's like, okay, let me clear it out. Okay, let's weigh it. And it was $10. She's like, that's right. The grapes were $10. The bananas, the apple, and the lemon all added up to $2. And the grapes were $10. That's a sermon, I think, right there, that he's saying, this is what's coming out of you. Something amazing. Now, we're spoiled as people in this generation. I mean, we have amazing food. We have brownies. Somebody was just having a brownie earlier in the service, donuts, and all of these things that we have in our present time. But I want you to go think back in time a little bit, like if before all that, you're Adam and Eve, you're walking through the garden, and you're just, you know, just kind of hanging out in the garden, and all of a sudden, you're like, oh, I'm a little hungry. You just go up, and this is just there. Or maybe you're on the deserted island, and you walk up, and you just see that hanging from the tree. And it's like prepackaged. It's perfect. It's beautiful. You take it off, and you begin to eat it, and it tastes good, and it's nutritious. It fills you up, gives you energy. It is God's design for us, and we get to partake in it, and it's an amazing thing. Lemons are unique, you know, they're sour, and they offer other benefits besides what some of these other fruits do, but nonetheless, they add a lot of flavor to life. And so I want you to get this idea that something like this could come from you, and that may take some imagination or some dreaming or a vision or whatever. But that's really what Jesus is saying, is that fruitful life is going to come from you. And that is going to be something that's amazing. And I really only have 2 points today. The first is this, that fruit is supernatural. This doesn't just happen accidentally. This is a design by God. Now, we can work and we can do things and we can produce based on our effort and our sweat and all that. You know, we can... whatever job you have, you know, if you're in school, you study, you get a good grade. You know, that grade comes from the work that you put in. If you're working a job and maybe you fix something and you look at it, wow, I just fixed that. Or you build something, wow, I just built that. Or maybe you're a teacher and you teach a child something about mathematics or history or English, and you see a paper that they write or a, you know, an assignment that they complete, and like, wow, they learned that. And that's because you put that effort into it, and there's a result that comes out of it. And that's a beautiful thing. And God wants us to do those things, but He wants to do something even beyond what we can do ourselves. He wants to provide supernatural fruit that's going to come from you, bursting out of you. And I think we get so locked into the rat race of life that we don't understand, don't think about what God could be doing from you, out of you. And it's something that comes from God, but it comes out of you. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7, says, it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. That's our human effort, okay? What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The growth of the plant and then ultimately the fruit of the plant comes from God. Now, I'm sure you've seen, back when I was a kid, I heard about this a lot, but you could talk to plants and they would grow better. I don't know if that's still science or not, but, you know, you plant a seed, you water it, you put it in the sunlight, you make sure it has soil, and you do certain parts of it, but it's only God that makes that little sprout come up out of the dirt, right? You can go to it and you can like massage it and try to pull on it or whatever. It's not going to change that plant because you don't need to do that because God is doing something in that plant, right? That plant is coming up. It is sprouting leaves that provide shade. Sometimes the plant will just be beautiful. It'll just be pretty. You know, just looking at it, that is something that a plant can do on its own. There's this amazing process called photosynthesis where it is taking on, the plant is absorbing and receiving carbon dioxide and transferring it into oxygen. Just an absolute miracle that plants are able to do that. That's in their design that they do that. The leaves provide food for animals, grasshoppers and worms and deer and other kind of animals. They're eating off of this, but there is something uniquely different and special when this comes off of the vine, right? This is something supernatural. This is a miracle that happens, that it is It is really, I just prepackaged, it keeps coming to mind, you know, because we put so much effort in presentation and preservation and all that kind of thing with everything that we do, food especially. But God has designed food for us to eat. This is a miracle. This is a beautiful thing. And I want us all to get the idea that God could bring forth out of you something just as amazing, just as beautiful, just as nutritious and spiritually edifying, right, as this fruit. So I want you to catch that vision. God's going to bring that out of you if we abide in him. That's a big part of this scripture that keeps coming up. If you abide in me, I'm going to abide in you, and I am going to give you something that you cannot do on your own. When fruit comes forth, the branch in and of itself could never produce the fruit. The only way that that branch is able to have this come off of it is because something has come up through the vine and filled it with something beyond itself. So I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about the education that you have, the money that you've acquired, all the friends that you've gathered in your life. And, you know, maybe the real estate that you have, the retirement package that you have, all the different parts of you, the health. Maybe some of you have been really working on your health and getting your sugars under control, or your weight, or your building muscle, or you're getting in shape, or whatever it is that you're doing. And all of that is because of the work you put into it. And so you have experience. You have money, you have talent, you have resources, you have connections with other people that can open doors for you. When we talk about fruit, God is doing something beyond your money, beyond your talent, beyond your experience, beyond the open doors of people that they can open for you. No, beyond all of that, God is doing something through you that you'll benefit from and others will be able to pluck and enjoy from you. That when the spiritual fruit of peace is bursting forth from your life, that's great for you, but it's also great for those around you, right? Because we've all been around people that are not bursting with peace. They're bursting with judgment, or they're bursting with anger, they're bursting, you know, with all those kind of things. We don't enjoy that. But when somebody has peace in their life, or love in their life, or gentleness in their life, or something like that, wow, that's an amazing thing. We can actually reap the rewards from. So that's a supernatural thing that God is doing. But the second part, and this is really what I want to kind of rest on today, is that fruit is confirmation. Fruit is confirmation. So I was talking to you about, you know, those other parts of our life that we really work hard at, you know, whether it's financial or relational or educational or your occupation, or, you know, all these things of our life that we work so hard at. Sometimes we can use those items as our confirmation that we're good, that we're on track, that we're healthy, or if they're absent in our life, we can kind of backtrack and go, I need to work harder. I need to do some other things. I need to wake up earlier, whatever. You know, I need to adjust some things in my life. And that we use those items as confirmation. And I want to be clear today that I don't believe any of those things are wrong or sinful. You know, making money is not a sinful thing. It's not a bad thing to have resources, assets. Nothing wrong with that. It's obviously not wrong or bad to be unhealthy physically or to have friends or all of those things that are what we would call good in life. There's nothing wrong with that, but Jesus never intended for those things to be the signs that we're on track or that we are grafted into him, okay? Because if you look at the apostles' life, the disciples, especially after Jesus ascended into heaven and they were on, quote, their own with just the Spirit of God flowing through them, you know, their life was very difficult, and they had very challenging things. So if you were to analyze the disciples' life based on their money, like even Jesus himself didn't have a house, didn't own a donkey or a cart or, you know, what we would call a car, you know. Jesus went from town to town with basic clothes, some sandals, and just he didn't have a lot of possessions. So if you're to look at Jesus and say, well, his life is good or on track, or we confirm that Jesus is right, we couldn't do that with all those extra things. But you look at Jesus' life, I mean, we see he is obviously very fruitful. In fact, he tells the disciples, people will know you by your fruit. So I want to, what I'm proposing to you today is that you will know yourself by your fruit. So what if we ourselves did an analysis? We looked at our branch and we just took some inventory of our fruit and looked at our fruit. Because really, Jesus is saying that spiritual fruit should be the assurance that our faith is on track. Spiritual fruit. The Apostle Paul was talking to us in his letter to Corinth, and he was talking about this body that we have right now on this present earth, and then he was talking about the body that we would have after it's resurrected. And there's a new heaven and a new earth. He's kind of comparing and contrasting in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. And he's showing, like, this is how it is when you're in this earth and this body's going to die. And then there's going to be a resurrection of this body. Just like Jesus' body was resurrected, your body will be resurrected. You're going to have a new body, a new heaven, new earth. It's beautiful, blah, 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 all that. This is what he says in the ninth verse of 2 Corinthians 5. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. Our goal is to please him. You know why? Because he is our bride, and we're in this marriage. We're in this relationship, bride and groom. That's what the Bible keeps talking about. We're here to please him. My wife's over here on the front row, Erica, and we've been married for a long time now, and my goal is to please her. I want to please her. Do I please her to get married to her? No, I'm already married to her. But because I am married to her and I love her, my goal now is to serve her and love her and remain abiding with her. Does that make sense? That's what these scriptures are telling us here. That's what Paul is saying. So whether we're here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please Jesus, for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done. We have done. That's an important part of this verse. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil that we have done in this earthly body. And I want to do a little teaching here, all right? So this is not the Old Testament. This is the New Testament. The Old Testament was very much about working and doing things. And then Jesus comes and brings us this new covenant, this new testament, that we are saved, that we have a right standing with God, we're forgiven, we're redeemed, we're saved by the work of Jesus. Not our work, but the work of Jesus. And so we read this. This is after all of that. And it's like, wait a minute, what? Let's look at that second sentence. It says, for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. So that means that we all, everyone in here, everybody watching online, is going to stand before Jesus, and we all individually will be judged by him. It's really, I think, it is like him walking down the vineyard, and he's kind of looking, lifting up the branches, looking around the leaves, seeing what's there. And he's looking, oh, look, wow, that's beautiful. God sees that there is fruit in our life. Wow, that is confirmation that the branch is abiding in the vine because there is fruit there. So the fruit is confirmation that there's a connection over here. So let's just pretend like this is the vine and this is the branch and here's the fruit, right? So if there's fruit, there's confirmation that there's something going on over here, that there's abiding in the vine. I know this seems different maybe than what you've thought of or what you've heard of, but you know, we all talk about and believe and are, we love the good news of Jesus, which is that we're saved by faith in Christ alone. Faith alone is what saves us. But there's this saying that's been going around for centuries that says it like this: we're saved by faith alone, but faith that saves is never alone. Isn't that good? I think it is very helpful to see it in that context. Yes, it is faith. It is faith that attaches, that allows us to abide in Christ. That alone is what connects us, our faith. But that faith will never come in and of itself by itself. It is always attached with this, right? James, the second chapter, he says it like this: faith without works is, some of y'all have heard that before, yeah. Faith without works is dead. Show me your faith, I'll show you works, right? Show me works and I'll show you your faith. Those always go together. It's like a cart and a horse. Now, we don't want to get the cart in front of the horse, but there's always a cart with the horse. There's always works following after faith. It's just always that way. So that what the point of, I feel like what Jesus is explaining to us here today in John 15 is that fruit that is hanging off of you is confirmation for you that everything's good right up in here. The connection to him is healthy and good. There's abiding happening. But if you go down here and you don't see that, and you just see this, then there's a problem with that. And so you have a problem with the fruit, and we have to really look at why that's the case. And really what I want to present today is that when there is no fruit, it's not a fruit problem, it's a faith problem. It's an abiding issue. There's a problem with the connection up here. And so here's how that would play itself out. So if I look at myself, I'm examining myself. So in that scripture, Paul says that there will be a judgment where Christ looks and evaluates us. And what I want to present to you today is you don't have to wait until Christ does that. You can evaluate yourself. You can do an inspection of the vine and the branches yourself. And I encourage you to do that. Look deeply at your life. You know, and evaluate, are there areas where God is bursting forth in my life and it's a beautiful thing and it's unexplainable and it's something that God is doing from me and out of me. And see, you know, like, wow, it's a beautiful thing to do, is like do an evaluation and go back and look and say, wow, I love how God showed up here and I love how, and in this situation, I responded this way. I would never have done that 10 years ago, but because of the grace of God that's flowing through my branch, it is now like revealing itself in this fruit of love and peace and joy and gentleness and kindness and meekness. It's just coming to life. It's coming to pass before me. We can look at that and say, wow, thank you, Jesus. I didn't do that. You know, if there is fruit in your life, then our response is, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being there for me. It's a worshipful moment. It's an act of reverence and honor to God. I give you the credit, God. I didn't do this. Lord, you did this. Thank you for, you know, so that's a beautiful thing. If you're in that place, that's awesome. Give God glory for that and thank him and worship him for that. But there may be some of you in here today that look at your life and say, man, when I go down the branch of my life and I look at myself, I see, wow, there's places of anger and I lash out and there's bitterness. There's not peace. There's frustration and darkness and the end of my branch, there's not fruit there. What is important, what I think Jesus and Paul both are saying here, is if there's a part of your life where there's not fruit, it's really not a fruit problem. It's a faith problem. In other words, I'm not going to just say, well, I'm going to try harder in that area. I'm going to discipline myself. And I'm gonna make sure I wake up earlier, and I'm gonna exercise more, and I'm gonna like you're going to work your way into fruit. That's not what Jesus is saying. He says, you will not be fruitful if you're not abiding in me. So it's not a fruit problem, it's a faith problem. So if you're in that place today and you know that you're struggling in areas in your life, in just real life. Just real life, at work, at school, wherever you spend your time. I was out recreating the other day, having fun at the park out here in San Marcos. People started arguing, almost got in a fight in the park, playing a game. What? I mean, it can happen anywhere at any time. The ugliness of life and the selfishness and the flesh and our ego and our pride and our ugliness and our lack of fruit. When we're fruitful, we have margin, emotional margin, spiritual margin, and we're able to handle things because things can come our way. But when we're fruitful, we have patience and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness to be able to handle those things. But if you're in a place where that's not happening, we're not here to judge you today. We're hoping that you will do your own self-evaluation, okay? And that you, instead of going, man, I'm gonna do better. No, the answer is Jesus. I wanna abide in you more. Lord, there's faith that I'm lacking. And so instead of focusing on the fruit, let's focus on the vine. Let's focus on the one who's bringing us the grace. That's really what's happening, is that the vine is sending the power. The vine is what's sending power through the branch in order to produce the fruit. It's not the branch on its own. Remember what happens when the branch is on its own? It dies, it's collected and burned. It can't do it on its own. It has to be connected to the source. And so if you are not fruitful in your life right now, I'm pleading with you. Go to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He's here to forgive you. He's here to love on you. He's here to bring forth fruit in your life that you don't deserve and that you haven't earned and you haven't figured out. Not only is your salvation coming by the grace of God, the mercy of God, the fruit, the sanctification of your life, the beauty, the beautifying of your life is going to come from Christ alone. So we can go backwards or forwards. We can say, thank God I have faith in you, or Lord, I don't have faith in you, and so that's going to have repercussions. Or we can go backwards and say, thank God I have fruit in my life. Lord, it's because of you, Jesus. It's because of you, Jesus. I don't have fruit in my life. I need you, Jesus. I want to look towards you. I want to abide with you, Jesus. So no fruit means that there's no faith. Or maybe not in that area. No faith means no salvation. That's the sobering part of Paul's message, really. In Paul's message, when Jesus is analyzing your life and saying if you did good or evil and you're going to have consequences based on that, the consequences is not because of what you're doing, it's because of it's lacking faith. The faith is what's producing those works. So faith produces fruit, and fruit proves salvation. It confirms. The fruit doesn't create the salvation, but it is evidence of the salvation. It is confirmation that there is faith in the vine. So would you stand with me? I want us to pray. And we're all in different places here. Some of you are attached firmly and you're abiding in Jesus. And man, in your life is Beautiful. We thank God for that. There's others of you that are struggling. Maybe some of you have just recently, been grafted in. Your little branch has been grafted into the vine, and you don't see fruit yet. I want to encourage you that you're in the right place and that you're going to see God's fruitfulness in your life. He is faithful. And so we can pray about that right now. But there's others of you that are branches that are just laying on the side. And it's time for you to make that choice. Do I want to be grafted into Jesus, or do I want to keep trying to live life on my own? And God gives us the free will and choice to make that decision. And only you can make that decision. I can't do it for you. Your spouse can't. Your parents can't. Only you can do that. And it's a beautiful thing when you make that choice to say yes to Him. So why don't we all bow our heads right now? Let's just begin to pray. Let's begin to talk to Him in our own ways and our own words. And He's listening. He's with us. Even those of you online right now that are joining us from your living room or your kitchen or your hotel room, wherever you are, God's with you right now. So we're praying and believing that the vine is enough. That's all we need. So would you just make a confession right now of your faith and just say, Jesus, I want to abide in you. I want to be with you, Jesus. I'm trusting from this day forward in your power, Jesus. I'm trusting, Jesus, that you are my source. I need you. Why don't we all collectively come together in this moment in a prayer that says, please forgive me. Please forgive my selfishness, my pride, my ego, my failures, my inability to do it on my own. Come on, let's confess our need for Jesus. Lord, we need you. We're sinners. We are far from your perfection. We call upon you, Jesus. We want to abide in you. We want to see that fruit come forth. And let it be obvious, and let it be beautiful, and let others benefit from it as well. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus, for that life that's coming forth. Why don't we just all say, God, I'm open and I'm available to you. The grace of God, may it flow through my little branch. Flow through my life. Grace of God, come on and flow through me. Mercy of God, flow through me. Flow through my little branch and just begin to sprout, Lord, in my family, and my relationships, and my finances. Lord, begin to sprout in my relationships at the job, Lord, at school, wherever I go. God, I'm praying that you would make yourself known through your power and your strength. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Come on, everybody say, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's worship.